It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. This is a conversation related to sexual assault, and it can be difficult to talk about. A rape kit testing backlog in Wisconsin affected victims of more than 6,000 crimes over years. And now legislation approved by the state Senate establishes procedures and gives survivors access to information about their cases. You have a place in this conversation. Do you think setting time limits and tracking evidence is the right move for Wisconsin? Does it go far enough? What changes do you want to see made to support people as they report sexual assault? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jamie Counsell Barker joins us now. She's a sexual assault nurse examiner at Mercy Hospital and Trauma Center in Janesville. Jamie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You're president of the Wisconsin chapter of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. Tell us, what's the role of a forensic nurse?
So forensic nurses, at a minimum, do have to be a registered nurse. So it doesn't matter what degree, fouls, associates, bachelor's, master's, nurse practitioner, you just really have to be a registered nurse. So when you decide to go into forensics, for the most part, most of the nurses do get trained as sexual assault nurses, and that's a lot of people's primary role. But the forensic nurse world opened up that window for those sexual assault nurses to be trained to not only deal with victims or survivors of sexual assault, but all-encompassing of any kind of patient that might seek care for being the victim of a crime or any kind of violence. So it's child abuse, elder abuse, strangulation, human trafficking, obviously the sexual assault, and then we do see suspects as well.
Wow. So that is a role that is really specifically tailored to deal with such serious circumstances.
Yeah. Most nurses who are forensic nurses, sexual assault nurses, really deal with any type of trauma, whether it's physical or psychological. So their role is to spend one-on-one time with these victims or survivors to make sure that their medical needs are met, they're being educated, they're given options, and then they help them with the process to move forward, setting them up with advocates, and making sure that everything's kind of like all encompassed into that visit so that they know where they should go moving forward.
And they deal with all of the protocols of the situation. I mean, the bills that have passed in the state Senate include a series of time frames on how sexual assault kits have to be reported to law enforcement, how long they can be stored at the crime lab. How does the current lack of time constraints allow some of those, some of that evidence, I guess, to slip through the cracks?
So these Senate bills that started going through, we did, as forensic nurses in the state, get, we got asked what we thought, you know, would work because we deal with the victims the most, or work with them the most, I should say. So the time frames are very realistic, and they actually help everybody out a lot because it gives you an outline of what should be done and how it should be done. So to have those outlines really just puts into place a plan that will make sure we don't have another backlog, because there was a lot of miscommunication in the past, and it wasn't anybody's fault on purpose. It was just nobody was saying the right things, or we weren't trained, or all on the same page to kind of inform victims that this is what is happening. So if you came in to get evidence collected, victims would assume that it would go to law enforcement. Well, if victims aren't reporting to law enforcement, it doesn't go to law enforcement. So they could take the kit, because in the past, the only people who could submit kits to the crime lab was law enforcement. So we, and in these bills, I think it's the Senate Bill 200, that kind of eliminated law enforcement as the middleman. And now if a patient comes in for evidence collection and they don't know if they want to report to law enforcement, they're put into a category called anonymous or undecided. And then that program that sees that victim, they send that kid off to the crime lab. So there is no storage anywhere. And then in the bill, it says for the timelines, like if the patient comes in, they want the evidence collected, we collect it, law enforcement isn't involved, we have 72 hours to send that to the crime lab.
Jamie Kunzel-Barker is president of the Wisconsin chapter of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. I'm Keeley Boltina, and we're talking about potential changes to the way that our state handles evidence in sexual assault cases. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What do you wonder about the process of getting medical evidence to investigators? How do you think Wisconsin can keep things on track, avoid another backlog? You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jamie, the legislation that we've talked about requires that healthcare official, a forensic nurse, to let law enforcement know about a kit you've collected within 24 hours. Why is that 24-hour time frame crucial now?
So that 24-hour time frame, that's only if somebody's reporting to law enforcement, and that's so that the investigation can get started. So they want to get the report. They want to take hold of that kit because once law enforcement has the kit, they now have 14 days to send that to Crime Lab to have, you know, to have it start being processed and kind of move things along.
So this is trying to avoid that backlog, that just lengths of time drawn out, making survivors wait, law enforcement not having even the tools that they need to begin an investigation.
Yeah, and even when these kits go to Crime Lab, there's a process there. So, you know, sometimes kits can take up to 6 months to be tested. So it really just depends on what's in it, what they're looking for, and we want to do it right. So although you think, you know, you have it, you're sending it in, and all of this stuff should be rushed, that probably isn't the best answer because we really want to do what's best because sometimes you only get one shot to do it.
The bills haven't passed the assembly yet. They still need to be taken up. One of them creates a data bank for victims so that they can access information about the evidence that was actually collected from them.
Yep.
Could that improve some accountability here?
Yeah, actually, that would be very helpful. The current process right now, or the way that it has been, is that the only people who can get information from Crime Lab was law enforcement. So although the nurses are collecting evidence and sending it, or they're basically kind of the start of the process, we never get to know what happens with the kits. So, and the victims, unless law enforcement is speaking to them, they also don't know what's going on with the kits. So having that tracking system helps us to kind of say, okay, we took it, we sent it, you know, law enforcement had it, now it looks like it's at the crime lab, it's in the testing phase, you know, and it kind of gives people a timeline so they're not wondering, like, it's been 3 months, what is going on with my stuff?
Sexual assault by nature is an incredibly personal offense. So I could see where a survivor of that may feel comfortable talking to a nurse. They've developed this relationship with them, as opposed to, you know, an investigator they may not have talked to or met yet. Does this improve that sort of connection that forensic nurses have with the patients they're trying to serve?
I think so. I mean, that's my own opinion. I will say law enforcement, I love my people in blue. They are doing really good at trauma-informed care. So they're trying to learn, they're trying to relate, they're trying to do the best they can. But it is true, you know, when victims come in and they have these kits done, they do develop a certain rapport with those nurses, and sometimes those are just the people they're going to trust. But the other people who are at the hospital as well, besides law enforcement and the sexual assault nurses, are advocates who are crucial to every single step of being there for these victims.
Yeah. Forensic nurse Jamie Kunzel-Barker stays with us. We're talking about how Wisconsin handles evidence in sexual assault cases, including rape kits. Consider sharing your story. Are you a survivor of sexual assault? What was your experience? There's room for you at 800-642-1234. How should medical professionals and law enforcement support victims as they collect evidence, as we see the cases through? This conversation continues. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking about health providers and sexual assault, and this discussion isn't appropriate for all listeners. Sexual assault is never a victim's fault. And yet people who survive the crimes can experience shame or humiliation. And that makes it even more critical that healthcare workers and law enforcement treat survivors with dignity. Wisconsin lawmakers are working to create a legal system to process evidence in sexual assault cases. What do you think needs to change in Wisconsin? Have you struggled to find information after an assault? Do you work in a hospital or for a police department? What have you seen? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jamie Council Barker is president of the Wisconsin chapter of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. And Jamie, one of those bills in the state legislature requires the state crime lab to store kits for 10 years if someone decides not to have it tested. That gives survivors time to change their mind. So help us understand, why wouldn't a victim want to have that kit tested right away?
Sure. So sometimes the victims aren't sure what happened. So this happens more often than not, I would say, at least with the victims that I have seen, where sometimes they'll come in and they don't fully know what happened. So they don't want to accuse somebody of doing something if they're just really not sure. Which, honestly, if you're not sure if something happened, then and it did, then that's a crime. You know, you can't take advantage of somebody who can't consent. So situations like that, it could be like a spousal sexual assault where the patient doesn't want to report because she still lives with the assailant. It could be a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. It could be a family friend. It could be a family member. So at least if they can come in, so we do have a time frame that we can collect evidence in, and that's 120 hours, so that's 5 days. So if they show up within that five-day window, we can offer them evidence collection, and then we can give them the option of, if you don't know what you want to do with this right now, we can send this to the crime lab and it will be stored. And they have 9.5 years to contact, you know, law enforcement, report the crime, and then it can move forward. It's 10 years total, but the law enforcement and crime lab would like at least 9.5 years, so they have that six-month window to open the investigation. And I should also add that that is only an option for an adult. If you are a child and somebody has sexually assaulted you, that's obviously a crime. It's child sexual abuse. That has to be reported. It also has to be reported to CPS.
How do you have those conversations with people in such vulnerable circumstances? Where do you begin to try to help them understand what their options even are?
So all exams, for the most part, they do start with just having a conversation. You know, it's not, you're not bringing them in and just being like, okay, take everything off. We're going to take a look at you. So, and it doesn't at all work like it does on TV. So when you get them, you know, usually they're upset, they're crying. An advocate is a really big role for them because it's a support system and they're neutral. So they give them a lot of options as well. So it's just having a conversation. We care about you. You know, we have a lot of compassion for you, and we really want to do what you want. We're giving them the power back. If you don't want to collect evidence, you know, you don't have to do that. If you want to decide you want to walk out of here, you can leave. You know, it's just giving them all of these choices that they might not have had in what happened to them. It's giving them back and making them feel comfortable and giving that part to us. And then we can take those pieces we have and kind of educate them on, well, you know, this is what we would recommend you do, but always the decision is theirs.
So it's physical health care, but it's also mental health. It's also emotional health.
Correct. Yeah.
Jamie Council Barker is a sexual assault nurse examiner at Mercy Hospital and Trauma Center in Janesville. And there's room for you in this conversation about how Wisconsin handles sexual assault kits and make sure to protect victims. Have you had to travel a distance to get a sexual assault forensic exam? What happened? What would you like to see changed next time? Maybe you're not a survivor of sexual assault. How do you think we should best advocate for victims here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Jamie, what obstacles stand in the way of people getting sexual assault exams here in Wisconsin?
Well, quite a few. Not all counties have sexual assault programs or forensic nurse programs. So sometimes these victims are traveling quite a distance to see somebody. Some counties have multiple programs, you know, and then some counties have none. So our program right now in Rock County, we do actually see Rock County, we're the only 24/7 program there that's running right now that sees all ages, so birth through however old. And then we see about 8 of the surrounding counties as well. So those law enforcement, it's really crucial to talk with law enforcement to let them know what your services are, what your capabilities are, if you're only open during the day, if you only see certain ages of people. That way they can, if they get a victim who does come to them first, they know where they can go to get the services they need. And these patients aren't waiting around.
I'm really struck by the concept that, like, we're not talking cities, we're not talking health systems. We're saying entire counties don't have this as an option in Wisconsin.
Correct. So, and like when you go up north, sometimes these patients are traveling 2-3 hours, because if it's a child that something happens to and they go to a hospital, maybe that hospital is only specialized in pediatrics, so they can't be seen there. You know, and you're not supposed to be turning these patients away, but if you're not trained to see that specific age range, then you're really not doing them a service by just trying to do it to get it done. You know, you have to send them to somebody who knows what they're doing for the benefit of the patient.
And then you think of all of the other factors at play, transportation, time off of work, opportunities that some people just simply don't have to travel those extra distances.
Yeah, and I think that's why our numbers are so low. Like, there's assaults that happen all the time, you know, but our numbers don't reflect that. Like, where are these victims? Why aren't they coming forward? What are these barriers? What can we do to try to get them, you know, in, just even to seek care as far as, like, STI screening or pregnancy screening, or maybe just even giving them, you know, emergency contraception if that's what they're looking for, because all of that stuff is free. So, I mean, it's free to the victims. Every time a victim goes into a sexual assault program, that bill is covered. They're not being charged to come in to get seen because they're a victim of a crime. That the state is paying for that care. So as long as they come in, they don't have anything to worry about, and we can set them up with any type of resource they need, and all of that is free as well.
Wow, that's really crucial information. I could see where worries about the bill could be a barrier for sure. What about our number of forensic nurses? Do we have enough healthcare professionals trained to handle this right now?
No. No. So the average turnover rate for a forensic nurse, sexual assault nurse, is around 2 years. So that all depends on what county they are in, what kind of support they have from their program. Sometimes these programs don't see a large volume of patients, so then that nurse thinks, you know, I really haven't seen a case in a while. I don't really feel confident because I don't want to mess something up for them. Because a large part of our job also, besides, you know, this evidence collection and the education, is also testifying. So if you're not feeling confident about your skills, a lot of the times those nurses are like, you know what, I'm done because I don't think I'm doing anything to be helpful. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but mainly it's the stress. I mean, it's a vicarious trauma job. Our job every day is listening to worst-case scenarios of how people are cruel to each other. So sometimes you just need to walk away from that for your own mental well-being.
How do you begin to take care of those health professionals then that are trying to take care of other people?
I think being in tune with yourself is really a big one. You just need to know when you need to walk away. And even sometimes it's just taking a break. Like, I need a mental break from this. I've seen too much. You know, I've heard too much. I just kind of need to walk away. A lot of nurses are very invested into this. I do think people who go into the profession get very good at certain things, or they find their passion. So as soon as you find a passion to do something, to be there, and sometimes for some of us it's these traumas, I think you learn how to control yourself in those situations so that you can benefit the patient but also take care of yourself in the same, you know, time frame.
Do you see the legislation that Wisconsin lawmakers are considering leading to more people feeling comfortable coming forward, willing to report assaults?
I hope so. I mean, I also hope that organizations really see the benefit in supplying these types of nurses, you know, getting programs running, giving them the support they need. You know, it is something that communities need in general. We know it happens all the time. And these nurses are specialized in learning how to deal with that, with the resources. They work with the communities. You know, they go out there. They're on the front lines trying to, you know, organize everything and make sure that they have everything in place. Like, they're very important, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. There's actually a lot of nurses that don't even know this is a specialty, which is another issue.
Sure. So education, support, funding, I suppose, also factors into it.
Yeah, because all of these programs, we don't make money for organizations because all of our patients who come in get free care. So really the hospital does take, you know, part in trying to do something good for the community in order to offer these services because they know they're not being reimbursed for it.
Jamie, it's clear that this is hard work. Thank you for doing it, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jamie Consul-Barker is president of the Wisconsin chapter of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. She's also a sexual assault nurse examiner at Mercy Hospital and Trauma Center in Janesville. And we've been talking about legislation in Wisconsin State Capitol trying to streamline to set up protocols for how Wisconsin handles sexual assault kits to make sure that we respect survivors of sexual assault. Coming up, we look at a proposal to create a marine sanctuary in the waters of Lake Michigan. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show right here on the Ideas Network.